I am in great need of the Lord's help this morning. And I desire the Spirit of the Lord to have liberty. Since I have been to service this morning, he has led in a little bit different way than I anticipated. And it caused me to think about a time that the Lord was calling for. And there was a voice in one ear that said, "You are going to make a fool out of yourself." But there was another voice. And that voice said, in a very quiet way, "I will help you." My testimony is that he helped me tremendously above what I could ask or think. So I'm leaning on the Lord this morning, and I need the Spirit of the Lord. That's what we need this morning. We don't need our own thoughts. We need what the Spirit will give, and it will feed. I'm going to start with just a first portion of 2 Timothy 3:16. But before I do, I want to plant a thought in your mind. I want you to think of how beautiful the plan of God is for the church of God and for the people of God. But this scripture starts out and it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You know, a lot of people can sort of draw back from the word doctrine, but we mustn't, because it's all part of his plan. And it's beautiful. That scripture in itself is beautiful, that we have such a hope in the word of the Lord, and we can trust that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, not man. Thank the Lord. So I'm going to touch a little bit this morning on the doctrine of the Church of God and the beauty of what the Holy Spirit can do in our services and with us each one. Well, we've been trying to talk about the Spirit of the Lord in the last few weeks, and the spirit of man and the influence of God's Spirit in our spirit. It works. Yes. Thank the Lord. It can work. Yes. We have to let it work. But his plan is that he wants to influence each one of us for the beauty of the Holy Spirit working in our services. So, a lot of this I don't have even written down. So I'm depending on the Spirit of the Lord. But I just want to reaffirm some things. Not for just you, but for me too. How that the government is on his shoulder. Do we stop and think about how wonderful it is that the body of Christ is led and ordered by the very God of heaven? He's interested in the success and the blessing on our services. You and I can get so routine, can't can't we? How many of you prayed on the way to church, Lord, meet with us today? We can be so routine. We're just on our way to service. We're expecting to sit through a song service. We're going to hear prayer requests. I may repeat some of that. We're going to hear prayer. We're expecting to hear a message. Are you expecting the message to come from heaven?
Yes.
Or do we sometimes wonder? Lord, help us. So the fact that the scripture says that the government shall be upon his shoulder, just a little portion of a verse in the Old Testament prophesying, and another part of the verse said, and the zeal of the Lord will perform this. I don't know that I have a real definition for zeal, but it sounds like a really good word, doesn't it? And you know, the Lord is desiring his people to have a zeal also. What would you call a zeal? A passion?
Enthusiasm?
Yes. What might be another word for zeal? If God has a zeal, doesn't he want us to be zealous also? Really have our hearts into coming to service and, you know, putting our whole heart in the service. We can get so routine at even singing that we may not be singing with our whole heart. And I'm not condemning anyone, and please, this message today, I want you to know I have great goodwill and love in my heart for everyone. And I hope you know it. But you know, I believe the Lord wants to move us up just a little bit. He wants to nudge us. He wants to say, put your whole heart into it. When you get down to pray, how easily it might be to doze off. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm just telling you, this is life. And you know, how important is it if I'm zealous for the Lord that I am agreeing in prayer with the one that is praying? Is there any merit to having agreement during prayer with the prayer? Absolutely, for the Spirit of the Lord says there is power in agreement. Can I encourage us this morning that when we get down to pray that we're saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm in agreement with what is being said. And I want to say, even if you're whispering, it's still agreement. But how important it is for us to be heard. It encourages us. Did you know that it's also encouraging for someone to agree with the message? There's something beautiful about it, and there is power in agreement. We can become so silent. And again, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I'm just saying I believe the Lord is wanting to stir us this morning. Oh, I'm going to focus on the anointing of the Spirit this morning as the doctrine of choice. It's so, it's so a part of the Church of God. I have heard it all my life and witnessed it all my life, and I believe you have too. There is something about anointing that cannot be imitated. It is Anointing is something that is beyond what I'm able to do and what you are able to do. We can't conjure it up. It comes from God. And so I'm going to say that part of the beauty of the Church of God is the anointing of the Spirit. We teach it. We have taught it. We have believed it. And we have practiced it. And that is a doctrine I'm not willing to turn loose of. I want that to continue as a benchmark of the Church of God. I want to see that continue to whatever generations remain, to the coming of the Lord, that our younger generation get a hold of it and believe it and practice it and teach it and pass it on if there's another generation. Oh, it's such a wonderful thing. And can I insert here that if something is not anointed, it is perceived?
Yes, it is.
You know, when we speak of the government being on his shoulder, and we believe that he gives the messages that are right for the hour. We believe that, don't we? We've heard, and I know you've probably already heard this. I know you heard it. Brother Marty had a vision. I believe he was at Monarch. He literally saw in a vision that there were imps standing behind every minister. And then there were angels that were standing in front, except for one. When the Spirit of the Lord is choosing, we need to know it. The one that got up that day should not have in his vision. We can make mistakes as human beings. But get in tune with the Spirit. He will lead us. He will guide us into all truth. He will minister. He will order everything about our services if we lend him. It's the beauty of the Church of God. It's the zeal of the Lord. Performing it. Part of our little thought today was that the church is unique in that we do not believe in man rule. But does man have anything to do with it? We have to say man has a lot to do with it. Man is involved in our services. Are you a man, a human being? You're here. You have something to do with the service. Oh, we like to think, oh, God has it all under control. He wants to have it all under control. But we have to let him be in control. I wrote down here, see, this is so disjointed. I'm having to have the Spirit of the Lord put it in order. The will of man is involved. Man is involved. You can't deny it. And I put down that the voices of man are also involved. The mind of man is involved. When we've been speaking about the Spirit of God, and we haven't even talked about the spirit of the enemy yet in these messages, but We're talking about the Spirit of God influencing the spirit of man. We need the Spirit of God to influence what we do in the service or don't do. And because the scripture says the government is on his shoulder, it sends us then over to the scripture that says he places the members in the body as it pleaseth him. He knows how to work all of this. Can man get out of order? He can. Man can even misinterpret their callings. And you know, sometimes the lay people perceive more than what they might say. I know. They might say, well, I believe that brother or that sister missed their calling. Have you ever heard that? It can happen. When an individual is missing their calling, someone suffers. The church suffers. And yet God will still try to use it in spite of. There is a testing and a trying of patience with one another, a praying for one another. I hope that you all pray for me. I hope what you're saying in your prayer is teach her how to deliver the word of God effectively. That's how I pray for myself, and I pray for others that way too. We're just human beings of the earth, and we can be influenced by our human thinking. Yet there is a Spirit of God that is wanting to influence each of our spirits that this whole plan that he has works perfectly. So now I'm going to go back to our scripture, and it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God for reproof and correction. That's not as, is that as appetizing as talking about the doctrine of the anointing of the Spirit and the ordering of the services and God being in control? No, but it's part of it. And God is wanting to use scripture to correct us. Why? Why do we correct our children? We do it because we tell our children. Dan has said this different times. His parents told him, you know, I whip you, I correct you because I love you. But you don't feel love right at the time. God wants to correct and temper his people for his glory. Because he loves us. The ending of this particular verse gives the reason. It says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly or completely furnished unto all good works. Do you know why he's calling for us to have good works? Because he will be glorified. Jesus said it. To glorify my Father which is in heaven is to do the will of my Father. When we are in tune with the Spirit of God, he will be glorified. He will be praised. It will minister. It will minister to each one in the congregation or in the setting, wherever it is, not just local congregations, wherever. And that's what God desires for the people of God and for His church, is for the blessings of the Lord to be poured out upon each one. And many times it is through the word that is spoken through man, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it then we can be perfected and completely furnished to produce these good works. So I'm going to give you another piece of doctrine. It's 1 Peter 5 and 1 through 3. And it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort." So the scripture is really for all of us, but it is an exhortation and it is a command. And those that have the calling to stand behind this desk has great responsibilities. If we that have the calling of God fail, we will have blood on our hands. That's how responsible we are. We're not only responsible for our own soul and our own actions, but if we fail, we will be held responsible. But here's the command. This scripture says, feed the flock of God and take the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, and not for filthy lucre. The world may look on that as being, well, it's a job. You've been hired. You're a hireling. We are not hirelings in the church of God. We are not hirelings. We don't do this for pay. I distinctly remember the first time I ever received an offering after I was in the ministry. It had never crossed my mind that I would receive an offering. It was in another congregation, and they gave me this offering, and I refused it. I said, oh no, you give that to somebody else. My husband has a job. And then another minister heard about it and gave me instruction. There's a gracious way to do things in the church of God. But we don't have it for a purpose. And then it says that we are to do it not only willingly, but of a ready mind. And listen to this part, because this is what I wanted to emphasize. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. You know, God doesn't want His ministers to be lords over you. That's displeasing. That is not beautiful. But it's beautiful when His ministry is humble and is not, how shall I say it, telling you everything to do all the time, telling you how to dress, where to go. We don't have that responsibility. I distinctly, and I've said this before, I had a person come to me many years ago and told me what their plans were. I was a little shocked. They said, "Now, if God shows you anything about me, you come and tell me." And they left, and I got down to pray, and God said, "I did not make you a policeman." We are not policemen over God's heritage, and we cannot be lords. But we have a grave responsibility. So that's part of the beauty of the Church of God. And I'm thinking about when it comes to ministering in the Word for correction or for reproof, it's not with pleasure. Do you want to know my vision of the Church of God? And I think it's probably yours too. I see the Church of God as being very long-suffering. I'm talking about the people of God. We bear long with one another, don't we? I've witnessed it. I see the Church of God as being very merciful and dealing in kindness and in love. I see that, don't you? I see that I have witnessed the ministry and the work of the ministry as being very long-suffering. Long before they ever placed any kind of judgment on anything, I have witnessed it. They are not hasty to lay hands on anybody. That is beautiful. Is it not? Lord, help me. Okay, I'm going to go to another scripture now. 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 14 through 16. This I write unto you, that's in the 14th verse, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of the truth. This is not your just normal, everyday church. Amen. The Church of God that He has founded is founded on solid principles. Amen. It is founded on a solid rock. It has already been established. No matter what man has done or not done, no matter the failures or successes, it's still there. And it will be there till the coming of the Lord. He has a body in the earth called the body of Christ. That is the Church of God. But He's saying that you and I need some instruction sometime. How to behave ourselves in the Church of God. And I go back to the thought that I've already said, that yes, we believe God is the governor and He is the one that is in control. He is ordering all things, but there's still man. And we still play a part. I'm so thankful of one thing that is also a beautiful thing. And I'm just going to give you parts of some scriptures in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and part of verse 12, part of 14, and part of 24. And this is what it says. It says, for as the body is one, the body of Christ is one, and hath many members, and all of those members have to work together. Verse 14, it says, for the body is not one member, but many members. Now, if all of you had not come this morning and only Brother Dan was here, then we'd say, well, there's only one member. But we're all here together. And we're many members. But this is the scripture I want to emphasize in verse 24, that God hath tempered the body together. You know, tempering is a very important part of your walk with the Lord. My walk with the Lord. Do you seek the Lord? Lord, temper me. What am I asking for when I say, Lord, temper me? I'm asking to be made into a vessel that will honor him. For reputation, God forbid. Christ did not even have or seek for a reputation. Nor should we. But if we seek to be tempered together as a body, as a congregation, as a whole body of Christ in the earth. The thing that goes on in verse 25, I didn't list that one, but it says, the reason he wants to temper the body together is that he doesn't want any schisms or division in the body. He hates division. He loves unity. It's part of that beauty, working together, being a blessing to one another, allowing his Spirit to work in us to bless our brothers and our sisters. So now I'm going to another scripture, Ephesians, the 4th chapter, 29 and 30. Let no communication... Now, I left out a word there. It's on purpose. Because I think that this scripture can be broadened beyond that word. Let no communication proceed out of your mouth but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may, listen, this is the reason why, that it may minister grace to the hearers. Verse 30 says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. That's just a little portion of that verse, but we can connect it. See, I'm still man. I'm still human. I'm still a part of this plan that God has, that he wants it to work perfectly. But it's that which comes out of my mouth sometimes. And I'm going to say this. Has anyone ever felt like you got out of order?
Yes.
I dare to say that every one of us have felt from time to time that I wish I hadn't said that. It didn't coordinate.
Amen.
It didn't coordinate with the Sunday school lesson. It didn't coordinate with the theme. I think that's where the Lord is wanting to temper us, that we can be in tune together. I believe the Lord has something for us in this. That our services can be rich. We spoke last Sunday about the riches of God. And I believe this is one place that he wants to enrichen us. I'm talking about the body of Christ. We're going to go to Monarch in a little bit. I don't mean next week. I mean today.
Amen.
So there's a reason. Did you know the vast majority of even you here today are listeners?
Yes.
I mean, unless you want to get up and walk out and you don't really care to hear what we have to say, you know, this is how God ordains it to be so. It says, with the foolishness of preaching, he chose that. But you have to be a listener. And the majority of the people are listeners. And we want it to be blessed of the Lord and anointed of his Spirit and edifying. We're not wanting to just beat the air and speak to the air and entertain you and tickle your ears by any means. That is also part of the doctrine of the Church of God, is that we not speak those things just to entertain or tickle the ears. We're serious about what we're doing. We're serious about going to heaven. We're serious about God's actual plan of salvation. We're serious about it. We take it seriously. But we need to be edifying to everybody else that hears us. And then we need to not grieve the Holy Spirit. When we are not edifying, we are grieving the Holy Spirit. It is affecting God's people when we are not edifying. So, now I'm going to another scripture, 1 Corinthians 14 and 40. Lord, help me. Let all things be done decently and in order. How many times have we heard that in our life? God is very interested in order. And he's very interested in it being done decently. So in my study, I looked up the two words of decently and order. I found that those were Greek words. And that the translation of decently is properly opposed to improperly. I think we all are aware when something is done improperly. And then the word order, it also was a Greek word, and it means something done in a fitting way. So now we want to apply those translations of let everything be done properly and in a fitting way. Everything, it said, not just one portion of our service be done in a fitting way, but everything. There is another Josephus. He was a Jewish historian. And he used the same Greek word in some of his writings. And it also had a different, slightly different meaning. It was respectful of others. I believe that's also part of the beauty of the Church of God, is that we do have a respect for one another because of the word. We don't just automatically get that understanding, well, I'm to respect my brother, I'm to respect my sister. But the word of the Lord says, in honor, preferring one another. So there is something about my relationship in the congregation, my participation. Am I my brother's keeper? The scripture, doesn't it say that? Over in the Old Testament, yes, it says, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is yes. We each one are partly responsible for one another. That we be encouraged. That we not be discouraged. That we not leave service and feel like, oh. We want to leave service and say, it was profitable to be in the house of the Lord. So we've already spoken about Holy Ghost leadership. We teach it and believe it and we practice it. But now there is another scripture we need to consider. And please, I am sorry. I'm not going to apologize.
Praise the Lord.
I did, but I'm not. 1 Corinthians 3:17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is a price for liberty. Because the Church of God is founded on this principle of where His Spirit is, we have liberty. It's a beautiful thing when it's done right. You can take that scripture and you can say, well, that means that I have the liberty to do and to say or think and whatever the Spirit of the Lord is. How many times do we say, do people use it? And I have heard other ministers say, when somebody says, the Spirit of the Lord told me to do this, they take their hands off. It's a serious thing for us to say, the Spirit of the Lord told me to do this. It stops right there. We've got to make sure. Remember the messages that we've had not too long ago about knowing and discerning the voices? Not every thought that comes into our minds is from the Spirit of God. There is an opposer to the services, to the truth, to the very form of services, to the very work of God. It is the devil himself, and he can appear as an angel of light, and his voice can sound like the Spirit of God, but we try the spirits. We make sure this is what the Lord is saying, because when we say it, this was from the Lord. Stops right there. Listen to this scripture now. Brethren, Galatians 5:13. Brethren, we have all been called unto liberty. You have liberty. It's part of the beauty of the Church of God. We don't have man rule. Now, you say, but I know sometime a minister had to set somebody down. That's responsibility. That's not man rule. Listen about this. Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. That's the other side of the coin. I mean, I've got liberty. I can stand up and say anything I want. You can. There's a price. It's going to affect somebody one way or another. But am I using my liberty and it's influenced by my flesh? Oh, I'm not saying these things to condemn or point fingers. We are all human. I have failed. I have failed before. Don't want you to think I'm standing up here perfect. I feel like that the foundation of our message today is for us to be tempered in our zeal. And it's a wonderful thing to have zeal. But every one of us, ministers as well, or any other place or calling, need tempering of the Spirit or by the Spirit. One of my very last conversations with Brother Philip. This message has been on my heart for a while. But one of my last conversations, like Friday before he died, he and I were having a little discussion. And he He spoke about the services at Guthrie during the Guthrie meeting. And he spoke about some who I'm going to say overstepped their bounds, took a little too much time. Can we take too much time? That's where we have to consider one another. He was very concerned, and there was one person that was taking a lot of time, giving probably too much detail. We can give too much detail. We can say, me too, up here in the pulpit, I can maybe reduce some of my details. And somebody told me, they said, you're a detail preacher. And I am praying about it. But anyway, Brother Philip interrupted the person in the middle of their discourse. He told me about it. He felt badly about it. And he said to me, he said, do you think that I need to apologize to this person? I said, well, I know the person. And I said, I don't think they're easily offended, but it might be good for you to speak to them about it, since you handled it publicly like that. And he did. And he got back with me. And he called this person and told them that he was sorry that he had handled that situation like that. And you know what they said? They said, no, I'm the one that should be apologizing. That is someone that felt the weight. When you and I can feel the weight and the burden of the meeting, we're participants in some form or another. I thought that was a beautiful little account, don't you? Good testimony. If we have to be corrected, nobody likes to do it. Brother Philip was grieved to do it. But for the sake of the service, he had to. He was responsible. So now, I'd like for the Lord to help us to say the things we have to say now. And I hope that you will feel love, because it's important we be instructed. We're facing, I mean, most of you are facing, I'm not going to be able to go to Monarch, but Monarch is a very special and important, always counted so. I've looked at Monarch as my new year. I sort of lived from Monarch to Monarch. And I think most of you have too. There's something about it, a congregating of God's people from across the nation and even from other countries, and we're coming together, and there's something so special about it. How many people do you think, how many members? It's not just one member, see, it's several hundred. How many ministers do you think are there? I don't know, 30, possibly. Do you think that every minister that goes there goes with a message? Probably. They have some kind of inspiration. How many services are there? 30? Oh, there's probably more than that on ministers, wouldn't there be? Because that not every minister is going to be able to deliver their message. It's going to be the Spirit of the Lord that will make a way and open the way for every message. And that's what we want. That's what we desire, thank the Lord. So, ministers aren't the only ones that talk at Monarch, are they? The vast majority of those that are attending Monarch are silent. Maybe there is some silence that should be broken. There may be some that the Spirit of the Lord is wanting someone to speak under the unction of the Holy Spirit, and they're timid. And that's where those that aren't so timid need to consider. We need to consider one another, that my brother may have something to say, but they can't do it. And I'm not condemning those that are silent. But there are those, and it's been this way all my life, and anyone that's, Bernice is older than me, but that's about the only one here older than me, but it's always been that way at Monarch. People do love to talk. Is that true? Is that human nature? It is. We need to be tempered, though, so that we're a blessing, so we're edifying. So I have some suggestions, and I have some points. I'd like to remind us, you're going to Monarch. Remember, there's always two voices. There is a voice that is urging, oh, you need to say this. But if we really listen to the right voice, it may be saying, if you get up, be concise. Wouldn't the voice say that? Yes. I mean, you've got hundreds of people here. We have X amount of hours. We're here expecting to hear from the word of the Lord, aren't we? I mean, what is our purpose for going to Monarch? Oh, well, you might say, well, there's some out-of-order services. How many of us have been in so-called out-of-order services that were a blessing? We could probably all raise our hand. We have been in services where the Spirit of the Lord, there wasn't even a message preached, and the Spirit of conviction was moving, and the song service was anointed, and we're going to talk a little bit about anointing. Oh, Lord, help me. Singing. But we saw the effects of the Spirit. It was still ordered of the Spirit. So I'm going to suggest that if you go to Monarch and you need to even get up and give a prayer request, be concise. Yes. Don't waste the time. How many have heard the ministers that are leading the services there caution to not take too much time? Why? Because it cuts into the time for the message and the minister. So I'm going to encourage us, if you go to Monarch, be cautious. If you do have a testimony, may I suggest that you go to early morning prayer meeting and give it there? Amen. It can be effective. Amen. But during the service, let's let the Spirit of God rule and reign in our camp meetings. And it's not just Monarch. It's all of our camp meetings. It's in our congregation. It's wherever the Spirit of God is meeting with the people of God. If you're calling a song, oh, we have some favorite songs. I do too. There's nothing wrong with calling a favorite song, but when we're in a big camp meeting and we're really trusting in the Spirit of the Lord to to anoint and bless. Make sure it's the Spirit of the Lord saying, call this song.
Amen.
If you are getting up and singing specials, oh, let's not make it entertainment. I tell you what, I've heard a special song at Monarch many, many years ago. It was the people from South Carolina. It was their first time to come to Monarch. And you know what? They didn't even know the tune of our songs. They had their own tune. And they got up and they sang a song out of our songbook with their own tune. And it was so anointed, I have never forgot it. See, the Spirit of the Lord can anoint and make it alive. It can't be me pushing myself forward.
Yes.
Lord, help us to just be cautious. Be cautious. If we pray, now if we give a testimony, be concise and make sure it's ordered of the Lord. If you lead out in prayer, make sure you're praying under the unction of the Holy Spirit and the anointing. Everything we do should be for that purpose, that the Spirit of the Lord is anointing. And also, let me caution us this way. If you lead out in prayer at Monarch, be careful not to pray too long. Is that man rule? I think it's wisdom. Who hears our request when we raise our hand in unspoken?
Amen.
God does. When we pray at Monarch, especially, or any camp meeting, let's be careful to pray for the things that are requested. Let's not pray our personal private prayer at Monarch. Let's not start praying for those things that we pray at home. You can pray at home as long as you want to. You can pray for all of your children at home. You can pray for all of your burdens at home like that. But when it comes to Monarch or camp meetings, remember, leave that in your closet. Be cautious. Everybody at Monarch doesn't need to know everything that happens in your family. And God knows it. So that's the one that matters. So I think I've said enough. I'm just going to end with this. Above all, let us not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And also, consider everything that we've said for the home congregation too. Let's be very thoughtful. If we are coming to prayer meeting and we are seeing certain individuals that are not testifying, let's make sure we make room for that. Is that wrong? Is that man rule? No, it's wisdom. That's in honor, preferring one another. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord will pour itself out on our prayer meetings. Give room. Pray for me. I need this message as much as anybody. I'm not pointing a finger at anyone more than myself, because I want the Spirit of the Lord to rule and reign and anoint and bless in all of our services. Pray for me. Amen.